This is the Loud Pedal Podcast with Chris Stubbs and Lee Holdsworth.
Well, this is it. Leroy, special edition of the Bathurst Loud Pedal Podcast. Happy Bathurst Week.
Oh, thanks. There's no better week in the whole year.
In the world. No better week in the world, Leroy.
How good is it?
And this episode is going to be, we're going all new frontier. We've got Scott McLaughlin coming up. We've got Jamie Wincup coming up. And if you want to talk about Bathurst, there's a guy by the name of Craig Lowndes who probably, I think he knows a few things about the mountain.
Yeah.
So he's coming up.
I'll know who Lowndes is.
He's coming up and he's got some stories ready for us as well. Don't worry about that. So this is the Loud Pedal Podcast brought to you by Super Cheap Auto.
Did you know Super Cheap Auto are cheaper or they'll beat it? If you find a cheaper price online or in another store for an identical item, they'll beat it.
Lowndes, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. What would you be without Bathurst?
What would I be without Bathurst? Mm. A bum? actually,
Lara might agree to that.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I don't know, to be honest, because I grew up watching like the Great Race and hopefully one day get an opportunity to be there. And I actually, to be like, you don't know as a kid like what you're going to do, what your outcome is, or how long you're going to be in the sport and all that sort of stuff, all those cliche things we talk about. But it's probably working on a car. I'm a qualified motor mechanic. Instead of being the spacer behind the wheel, I'd be the spacer under the bonnet.
I reckon you would have been working for Colgate, mate.
No. It's a good plug, though. Thanks. Yeah, I need that.
Was there a moment that the magic of the mountain got you?
To be honest, I went there as a teenager and I fell in love with it. I was that pesky little, probably pain in the ass little kid running around the back of the pits, annoying.
You still are.
Shit, well, yeah, I mean, the older version of it. It's it was actually Dad and I that sort of, when we went through from go-karts into Formula Ford, it was like that was the big step. Like you go out of go-karts and you're fun with your mates and you're trundling around and you're crashing at each other and you're having fun and you're high-fiving each other. And then you go, all right, where do you go now? And then you go into Formula Ford, which I did. And then I remember the start of 94 that there was a 12-hour race and it was a production car based. And I drove a Triple S Pulsar, Nissan Triple S Pulsar front-wheel drive. And I drove it with two brothers that owned the car. And then crazy times, but it was really just a purpose to learn the track.
Yep.
And to understand it if you had an opportunity later that year, which we did. And then but driving a 85 horsepower front wheel drive Pulsar and then you get into a supercar 600 horsepower is completely different.
Yeah. Lee, for you, was there a moment that the magic that you just went, bloody hell, like this is legit, I'm here?
Well, I remember watching it obviously from when I was a little tacker with mum and dad, and you know, we'd drag the mattress down and be set up for the whole day, you know, we were ready to go. And but I remember, you know, the Johnsons, Brock, you know, all the legends, you know, and that's where it all starts from. You look up to these guys and just think, that's where I want to be. And like Lowndes, you know, you're thinking, I'm going to get into go-karts and then I'm going to get to that one day. But you realize, you think now how unrealistic I was thinking that back then. But to actually get there, it's a dream come true. And, you know, that race is just something else. You know, it's not even, when you think car racing, you think Bathurst. And anyone that's not into car racing, they still think Bathurst, don't they? Yeah. You know, it's the pinnacle. And but I'd like to know, Lowndes, who was it that you were watching when you were a young bloke?
Oh, you're sort of going back a bit further than that.
Not saying you're not young.
But you're right, though. Like, if you're not in, it's like the Melbourne Cup. I'm not into horse racing, but you'll watch the Melbourne Cup because it's the pinnacle of the racing side of it. So for me, like, I remember sitting at home, and I was lucky enough that Dad was part of the Holden dealer team, and so you got sort of a bit of a connection with motorsport anyway. Yeah. But to sit there and watch even Kevin Bartlett in the old Camaro, you know, the Channel 9 Camaro, and then sort of watching it go tip upside down, and then right through, you know, George Fury, there's Jimmy Richards, you know, Peter Brock, all those sort of guys that you sort of you forget back then is like they, and Dad tells stories of driving race cars up from Melbourne. And that was like the warm up. Yeah, you're breaking them in. You're driving all the components to Bathurst, and then you race them. You drive them home. Where now, I think it was Alan Moffat. I think it was the first to have a transporter that actually transported the race cars to tracks and then basically ran them up.
But quite literally transported us to a whole new whole new era.
Crazy, hey?
You mentioned Brocky. Both of you have already mentioned. You can't not talk about Bathurst and have his name come up. How did it start? You've talked about him forever. Every time you're asked about Bathurst, I assume Brocky comes up. Can you remind us again how it started, the relationship with him?
Well, the outsider racing side of it was at the high school I went to, which was Hurstbridge and Diamond Creek, he went to. And then I played football, AFL football growing up, and actually played in the seconds when I was about 17 in Diamond Creek. And he lived in that area. So I grew up sort of knowing him through my dad because of the Holden dealer team. But outside of that, we grew up in the same area. I went to the same high school, played football in the same football club. So we went to sort of reunions outside of motor racing. Yep. And there was a famous bit of road down through into Diamond Creek that was this windy section, which was notorious for cars crashing and people trying to be a Peter Brock and all that sort of stuff. And I remember going through there and having a lot of fun. And I grew up on dirt roads. So it was sort of... a lot of fun growing up, and the connection was there from outside of motor racing. And then sort of later in life, when I got to a point to drive or offered to drive a supercar, it just happened to be in the same team as Peter. So I'd known Peter a lot longer prior to actually driving with him than most. So for me, it was, a strong connection.
2006, clearly one of the most emotional moments in not just motorsport history in this country, but sporting history in this country. Do you still miss Peter Brock?
I think you missed, yes, because of the connection, but also just to be able to ring him up and from time to time and just get advice. Yeah. Like I remember this, like one of the stories when I was about to leave HRT, which everyone thought I was nuts, but we had our own reasons. And so I actually went and sat with Peter and Bev at the time and said, look, what am I going to expect? Because I'd never done it. No one in that time frame had really converted from one to the other or defected. And he sat there and he sort of pondered for a minute and said, well, you're not going to lose anything. And I looked at him and said, what do you mean? And he sort of said, well, you're going to have Holden fans, 50% of them are going to still love you for what you've achieved, but 50% of them are going to hate you. Yeah. You're going to move into Ford world, 50% are going to hate you because you're defecting, and 50% are going to love you because you've moved over. So in the end of the day, you're not going to lose anything. And he was actually right. Like it was just, it was one of those things to have a connection or someone there that had been and done and seen. And to be able to bounce information and ideas and just thoughts off. Yeah. So for me, that it's that side of it. And I remember when I first started, and you go to corporate facilities and you sit there and he was always a positive outlook person. And you go, 1972, driving the XU1 Tirana, about lap 141, and the gearbox started to vibrate. Blah, 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 blah. And I'd be standing there beside him at awe, and I'm trying to talk to all the corporate people, but I was at awe because I wasn't born until 74. So he's talking about things that were before my time, and you grow up going, wow.
Like what we're doing now with you.
Yeah, I know.
hey, Lounsey, so like you're obviously a Bathurst god. is there any piece of information or advice that Brocky gave you that helped you through that race?
You're just asking for a friend.
Yeah, because I'd like to know.
Actually, you're right. Like it's going back a step, like you're talking about the things that when you were young, in New Zealand weekend where Scotty finally eclipsed my all-time race wins, like I actually did the count back. It was 23 years ago. He's only 26. So he would have been three when I actually did the record back then. So it is quite amazing how time flies. But getting to your point, I struggled in 94 to get to Bathurst. I was about a second or probably 2 seconds a lap off the pace. I was co-driving with Brad Jones. I'm sure Brad was going, what in the hell are you got me into this? Like the team got me an opportunity and I was struggling. And it was just to a point where Brock sat me down and said, all right, I concede, do you want me to talk a lap at Bathurst? And he literally sat there and talked. Turn one, hell corner to the last corner in Murray's, where to be, what position, how to flow the car, all this sort of stuff, down into the middle grate and what the car attitude is going to feel like. And it was at that point it started to click. And it was just, again, tapping into information and experience of you can go to that track and you beat yourself up and you can scare yourself if you don't know where to position the car.
Yeah.
And it's a confidence track. You just got to be confident in what the car's doing. But in saying that, was it? 97 when I come back from Europe and I stuck it in the wall and Murph wasn't happy with me. I was chasing Scaife and I went around the outside into the grate and I'm like...
We hear about that in the production.
The next time you went around the outside of someone, it went all right though.
Yeah, it went all right. Oh, Bowie.
Hey, it's funny you say that about the way you felt on that first time you came to Bathurst, being off the pace, because I remember going there and it brings back memories what you're saying, because... Everything's happening so fast. You get there. It was my first time around the track and I was in a supercar And I tell you, it was the scariest thing I've done in my life. I thought, what have I got myself into? And
it's intimidating, isn't it?
Massively intimidating. And it just feels completely dangerous and out of control. You know, you're going up over the top and you're doing 200 plus through blind corners and you don't know where to position the car. You don't know how the car is meant to feel. You know, the car leaves the ground over McPhillamy, and so you need to know where to place the car so that you land in the right area. And the scariest thing for me was coming down off Skyline, down into the dipper, and, you know, that section flowing down the hill is just where it can all go wrong. And for me, my first year, 2004, I was driving with Mark Noski in the Smith's Trucks car under the Imrie Motorsport.
You are brave.
Yeah, no wonder you were scared.
and it was the first time. I'd got a few laps in practice. I jumped in. Mark Noski had just got a drive-through penalty, so he put me at the front of the field, right, nearly a lap down. And I led the field off the safety car restart. First time in a main race, first time in a supercar. And I've got guys like yourself, Murph, Ambrose, and you know what we're like with the young blokes when they join in these
days. Up.
There's no respect at all. And man, did I get a taste for it? I came through into Forest Elbow after about three laps. My engineer Ryan McLeod at the time was saying, "Don't let them through over the top," and sure enough, I didn't. But then I got to the Forest Elbow, and someone stuck it down the inside, and I thought I could go around the outside of there, but I stuck it in the fence. And that was my first experience of Bathurst.
Might answer the question, has the place brought you to tears before? I mean, 06 brought most of us to tears, but has the place ever brought you to tears? You had the heartache?
Probably about the last, every year for the last 3 years, actually. It's funny because it's sort of, you either go away happy, and when you're happy, you're obviously on the podium, or you go away and you're very emotional about it.
Yeah.
But either way, it's emotional, you know, whether you're up the top or down the bottom. You know, the massive, massive highs around there and massive lows. And you can go from being leading the race thinking we're in this, you know, we're in this for the long haul, we're in this for the win, to just absolutely nowhere because something goes wrong, strategy goes wrong, something breaks in the car. So there's been times, I think the hardest time for me was 2010. We led that race pretty much from the start, through to, well, we're having a good dice with you, Lounsey, with Bezzy in the car. And then and it got to about like 120, 130 or something like that. And Bezzy came to hand over the car and he was in the wrong gear coming down pit lane. So we got a drive-through penalty for speeding and I had to serve that one and it dropped us back. And, you know, that was still, I'm like so bitter about the one that got away. But I've still got another opportunity and hopefully plenty more. And that one really hurt because you don't often have a car that's that strong around there that you know that could win the race.
Yep. Thank you for doing that. It was a great
year. Yeah, no drama.
It was a great year. Actually, that was the year that Scaife popped a rib out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, Scaife and I are the same height, but proportionally he's got a short torso but long legs. So when we paired up, like, it was actually, we paired up very early in the year with HRT, and we actually had a two-stage steering wheel because when he sets the car up, I'm driving like a NASCAR with this big wheel shoved up my nose because he's got such a short torso.
If it was up your nose, it must have been up here.
oh, you're brave.
But then you're
just joking, Scaife. We're good mates. So
but then you're stretching for the throttle because he's got such long legs. So what happened is 2010 when he came and joined us again. I was like, nah, screw you. You're going to sit not where I like to sit. So, of course, he's like all cramped in the legs and he's stretching the arms. So he loosened the belt going over Skyline, as you know, going into the dipper. The car dropped. He didn't. Oh. And he landed on the wing of the seat. And you've known, like from Darwin, like if you're outside the seat, you're not. And he popped a rib out. He didn't crack one. He popped it out. Whoa. Dislocated one. So I remember getting in the car, and it was quite early because he was supposed to get back into a single stint, and then I was going to do a double at the end. So I got into the first stint, and the team going, "Oh, how you feeling in there?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, good. Can you do another one?" Yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, not knowing what was going on in the garage, and then I ended up doing like 80 laps because he physically couldn't get in the car. And I've talked to him up since then, and I remember at the end of the race, we finally won. I thank you for you. that we behind the podium, I'm like, yeah, give him a hug. He's like, don't. And that's when I realised he was hurt.
Yeah, right.
So if you did more, did you get more Doshki?
No. I wish Roland works like that.
Tell us about the celebrations. How do you celebrate a Bathurst win? What have you done? Are there any memorable ones?
Well, the early days, when you're young and silly, you'd go to what was then the Panthers Club, I think it was, or the Leagues Club, and you have a few celebration drinks, and at 3 a.m. in the morning, you got your publicist saying, oh, we want to do a photo shoot tomorrow with you in Pitt Lane. And I remember Murph and I was leaning up and he was laying on the ground. But these days, I think that you get a bit older and wiser. So by the time you packed it, and the good thing, I suppose, about the team with Red Bull is that we don't celebrate or commiserate either way until that back of the tailgate of the transporter is closed. Yeah. So we all hands on deck, get all the stuff out, pack everything up, lock up. Then we go for a team dinner, which generally the forecast is to be there by 8:30. We really get there by 10:30. By the time everyone showers, gets down there, we generally have dinner. We go back. In the sense, Lara and I go back to the circuit, jump in the caravan, go to sleep, and all the young ones will go out and party.
Are there any
luckily?
Are there any iconic moments from either your parties or other ones that you've heard of at the Mountain or the Holden ones or Lee?
I reckon there'd be a few Bronchi stories. Don't know whether you can talk about him, Lounsey.
No, he was at the other end of his career. I've heard of all the ones before my time, but I've actually, to be honest, it's been pretty vanilla for us.
Has it?
Yeah.
You know what I found really funny, you know, and I'm going to do it this year because it obviously works. Obviously, we always all stay in caravans and motorhomes and stuff.
Oh, so you're doing it again this year?
Doing it again, yeah.
Cool.
So I'm going to have a red wine with you on Saturday night because I saw him doing that with Luffy a few years ago and he went out and but he won it the next day or whatever. So,
and we did it last year with Richo.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, there you go. That's our tradition.
Hey, I'm coming to find you.
What is that like? Because I'm only there during the day and the paddock is a buzz. There's that many people around from punters, journos, et cetera, team members. And then of a night, it's just you guys and I guess some partners in your motorhomes at the back of the garages. Like, that must be kind of surreal that suddenly you've got that whole place. Campgrounds would be buzzing, I'm guessing, and you're just there in a motorhome, like glamping.
Yeah, it's great.
It is. It's a funny night because it's sort of, I don't know, there's this sense, there's something in the air that night where you just go, this is pretty special.
Yeah.
And
any of the caravans rocking? Is there like the night before a big game, sort of any of that?
There is a motorhome in front of our trailer. That a driver sleeps in, yeah.
what are the initials?
He sleeps in.
On his own.
Times.
but you know, the first thing you hear, like you're full of adrenaline. Like it doesn't matter whether you sleep or not, you wake up full of energy the next day. And most of the time I don't sleep because they got fireworks and bombs going off up the top.
Your van's rocking. <Yeah. laughs> Lana, hello.
Well, Alana's coming this year, so we'll see.
It's one of the tracks that you can actually physically do that. When they upgraded the track and the pit lane and all the facilities, like even the showers and toilets in the main grandstands and that in the base where we sort of use all that, it's become a really tradition. I think that a lot of drivers enjoy it because you go, the pressure of the whole day of corporates and signings and everything else, the last thing you want to do is drive 25 minutes out to a house or wherever you are and then knowing you've got to be up at 6 a.m. to get them back. Like, at least I know in the van, you hear the boys come in, open up the transporter, and that's like your wake-up calls. Like, oh, they're here now, all right. And you rock out and literally You go to your pre-brief that next morning, and Lara's like, giving me a bit of toast with avocado or something.
You're still in the Peter Alexander. Yeah. You got the robe on.
Yeah, you got your morning cup of tea, morning. And you're off there. Hey, boys! And they're like, oh, I wish I had another hour of sleep.
Is it a bit of a contest? Who's got the best camper home? Or
there's definitely an unwritten.
Is there?
There's something going on there. We always try to beat each other. Every year you come back with something a bit better. This year I've downgraded though.
Well, I've gone from a motorhome,
a massive bus, to a little caravan. And I'm towing it up
Keeping
myself.
It real. Towing it yourself?
Towing it myself.
Yeah, right. Have you ever had a fan or anyone, you've come back to the van and there's someone in your van?
We've got the same van over the last 7 years, so people know where you are. And people know what the van looks like. And I actually keep saying to Lara, we need to rewrap it.
Right.
Like in just a different colour, so you know.
throw people off the seat.
Which I've learnt though, because we do the drive down and we spend much time.
You do that
time.
Every year, don't you? That's
we
like
do.
An annual
yeah.
thing.
We just literally get off the grid. So the team know, everyone know. Yeah. Don't talk to us. Like, don't ring us. We're not going to answer our phones.
Yeah.
And literally you just spend different place, different spots along the way, the East Coast. So people sort of don't know where you are. But the story I was going to say is we went down to Yamba And we love Yamba as an area. So we went down there, and I was stupidly so excited. I put it on my Instagram feed and everything else. It's great.
Schoolboy error.
It was. Because then we started driving the next day, and then Lara was doing that next leg. And as we're driving down the East Coast, there's a highway patrol cop goes northbound. Then all of a sudden it does a U-in, follows us. And this copper followed us for like 15 minutes. And she was starting to get the sweaty palms, like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing? Am I speeding? No. And followed us. And finally pulled us over. And then I got in really good big trouble. Because his son saw my post and had told his dad and sent a photo to him and said, if you see them, basically pull them over. So he pulled us over just to say hello. And she was furious with me because it's like, post. I'm like, sorry.
And ever since then, Lara has looked after your social media posts.
No, I do a post where we are now, not during.
Yes.
I've learnt.
Smart. What's it like going there as a co-driver this year? Is it totally turned the world upside down on your approach on how Bathurst will be for you?
No, I'm actually going to enjoy it, to be honest, because you don't look, well, I'm hopefully speaking for Jamie, I'll just focus on a race car. He'll focus on a qualifying car. As a lead driver, and as Lee will, be focusing on a bit of both. And it's the pressure of that is immense. So for me, I'm just going to enjoy the ride. Just go there, have fun, go do your signings, have my glass of red at night, and basically just chill out.
So do you and Jamie, you obviously drive fairly similar because you've driven before in the 1000 and been very successful. Is there any compromise with driving, with the way you set the car up, with the way you sit in the car?
To be honest, I've got to lose another kilo.
Do you?
No.
So that red wine?
Yeah. Well, it used to be a bottle, now it's only a glass. I actually fit into his seat, but because over the years, when we first drove together back in 06, 07 and 08, he was a bit more of on the pudgy side.
Yeah, wasn't he?
He was the little Teletubby, and now he's lost all this weight. So, of course, all his insert and all this stuff, I've got to now fit, mold and slim my way into his. But I'm actually now into his seat with his seatbelt. You know how important it is to be able to interact with the two drivers without doing any inserts or adjustments and all that side of it. So, I've had to trim up to get ready. But in saying that, I am now at my same weight as what I was when I was full-time driving. I think I blew out at the start of the season. Actually, towards the end of the last season, I think I blew out, as Roland kept telling me. And because at Newcastle, when we had our big team gathering on the boat at Newcastle, I was trying to hibernate out the back of the crew and all the team and everyone celebrating the year, and it was blah, blah, blah. And, of course, Roland had a few sherbets and got on the microphone, and whenever that happens, it's never a good thing. and I'm standing right at the back, and next minute I hear my name called. I'm like, shit, what have I done now? And he's standing right up the front. He's like, Lounsey, where is he? Where is he? Where are you? And I put my hand up, and he's like, so, what are you going to weigh next year? And I said, less than you.
Good.
You win. Well, 1-0 CL.
Hey, if Jamie sat on his wallet, he probably wouldn't need a seat insert, would he?
It'd help me.
Hey, you tell me a ripping yarn about Jamie. We know he's OCD.
Oh, very.
But in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, we went past the KFC at Pukekohe. Give us some insight into what the bloke is like and how OCD he is.
That KFC drive-thru looked a lot like the one that he's got at his
car wash
place.
Well, that's where it come from. The inspiration come from that KFC at Pukekohe. It's probably 3 a.m., I think, or midnight. You'll have to ask him because when he was designing his car wash, the one he's got, he had no idea how to construct it. So he's like, we drove through that the day before and he's looking at it. I'm like, I wonder what you're looking at.
He just wanted a zinger.
Well, that's what I thought he was looking at.
That was when he was tubby.
And then the next morning we drive past, he goes, I was out there, I think it was midnight, with his phone and his torch, and he's measuring up the width and the angle and the arc and all this sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, a bit weird. But it turned out he was preparing his car wash, and he wanted to know the arc angle so that he could get the cars into the tunnel for his car wash. So, he's very meticulous, or the other word is anal, about
at
everything.
Midnight at the Pukekohe KFC drive-thru.
Smoker didn't get mugged.
That is commitment. what's the strangest moment that you've had at Bathurst? I'm assuming there'd be a few. Is there something from a fan or something that...
Well, the strangest things anyone asked me to sign is a glass eye.
Oh, what?
A glass
eye.
They
pull it out?
Yeah. So he pulled it out. And so I actually don't know whether he was born like that or he had an issue at somewhere, but he had a glass, so I pulled it out, sort of give it a bit of a rub, and said, "Can you sign my eye?" And I looked at him, and I signed it, and he stuck it back in, but then he brought a cigar box out, and it had like six others in there. But they all had different like emblems, his footy team and his favourite sport, and it was really weird. And so I did a segment with Howie.
Yeah.
And it was actually Bathurst last year. I'm telling him this story and everything else. And Howie turned around and said to me, "So after you signed it, how do you see out of it?"
Oh, Howie.
Howie, it's a glass eye.
God. Oh, Howie, good job.
Not one of his greatest moments, that one.
I remind him every time. I say, "Hang on, I can't see him a glass eye."
Hey, the worst one I had to sign was when I had to sign this old lady's boobs.
Oh, right? What'd she do?
But you know how you have to stretch a shirt out to sign it? It was the same thing. I had to stretch it out so I could actually write on it without the creases.
Oh.
So that was a good one.
Yeah.
Very good one. Yeah, not that enjoyable.
Not a MILF?
No.
Or GMILF?
No.
Actually, the funny one, I think, for Jamie, and I won't tell stories, but I will, is when we're actually back in Pukekohe. It all happens over in New Zealand. And we went to the like some sort of signing session for all the drivers, and all of a sudden we look around and like, "Where's Jamie? Like, what happened to Jamie?" And then we literally find him in the corner. This lady had what's the word, wrangled him into the corner, and she wanted a G-string signed, so she literally wrangled him into the corner and pulled down her pants, and he was like that scared little kid, like,
Did he do it?
Yeah, he did. Well, she wouldn't let him go.
I wonder if she wanted a message.
His phone number?
Maybe he wanted to floss his teeth.
Perhaps.
Hey, so you've had a few co-drivers in your time, Lounsy.
Yep.
Who's the strangest one you've had?
Oh,
a bloke that goes to KFC.
Is Wick Cup up there?
Oh, he's actually. I'd have to say he's very much like Scaife, like in the sense of the data and how meticulous he is, and he's routine driven. He does this, and you know, if something doesn't work, then he's almost got to press the reset button and do it all again. Yeah. So he and Scaife are probably very similar in their mindset, the way they are. And now the weirdest one. He wasn't he's a teammate. He wasn't a co-driver or anything else, but it was Montoya when I was racing in Europe. Yeah. He was an absolute ass.
Yeah, you had serious problems with him, didn't you?
Massive.
Serious beef.
Massive. Yeah. Only because he was so arrogant, and because you come out of Australia and where we are, and you get thrust into a climate of Austria in Graz, and it's cold, it's miserable, and you got a teammate that's an asshole.
Couldn't get any worse.
Yeah. I had no engineer. My results were shit, and we were going nowhere. And you're getting frustrated. And Dr. Marco, who ran the team, which is funnily enough the Red Bull Junior now squad leader, and I've bumped into him a couple of times since then. But he said to me, he says, "Oh, you must take Montoya with you." I'm like, because we used to hire a car. Holden Opel over there used to give you a car to drive to and from circuits. So we were driving down to Mugello, and we were based in Graz, driving through. As we crossed the border. Of course, a Colombian in the car, out, bags out, basically bit in the rubber gloves on and all this sort of stuff. So we went down, come back, and I said to Dr. Marco at the time, I said, "No more. I'm not taking him anymore." And so then he went with the team bus the next meeting. I can't remember wherever that was. They got the same treatment. So after that, the team boy said to Dr. Marco, "Mate, no more. He can go on his own." But he was just mentally... an ass.
And that was simply because of the whole drug connotation of a Colombian.
No, I actually asked him if he knew the mafia and the Colombian mafia, and he said yes.
Right.
But no, his parents were really nice. It was just him. It was just I'd come out of Australia probably too protected through HRT days, and then you go thrust into an open world, like you become a small fish in a big pond, and then you got a teammate like that. But then the good thing about that is when I came back to Australia, and then Scaife was my teammate, and everyone's going, "Oh, mate, Scaife, he's through you."
He was a breeze.
Mate, he was a pussycat. He was a pussycat. But I remember at Jerez, the last round of the championship, when Tom Walkinshaw at the time, because he was my manager, said to me, "Oh, look, you know, happy for you to come back, but you're going to have to find your own money and blah, blah, blah," and all this sort of shit. And I'm like, "Crap." And the team at the time said, "Oh, Lounsey, your golf clubs are here." And I'm saying, no, I haven't got no golf clubs. And he's like, no, your golf clubs are here. They're yours. We've asked everyone. They must be yours. Said, okay, good. So I grabbed the clubs, toddled off into the car, down to the hire car, put them in the boot, come back. Next minute I hear this Colombian. and my golf club. So I like quickly run back, scamper back to the car, get pull the bag out of the boot, pull the unzip the thing, grab his one wood, give it a bend, put it back in, put it back up, put it back in the transporter, and
nice.
See you later.
Good job. I never saw him again.
Oh, I saw him at the Melbourne Grand Prix a couple of years later. He never brought up his golf club.
You should have said, you've been having a hit lately.
I'm sure he can afford new ones now.
Yeah. That's right.
What about you with your co-drivers? You've had a few over the years.
Yeah.
You got a story on Caruso or something that you want to drop for us? Or is he...
I don't know.
Seb Bourdais was...
Bourdais was pretty funny. I remember after he drove the car, we were in the Walkinshaw car at the time, and he came in and we'd been saying, you know, the balance is terrible. You know, we got no rear grip. We don't get front from the. We don't get front grip. We actually get it's turning from a lack of rear. That's the only turn we've got. And he got in, and it was funny enough. Charlie was the boss who owns the forklift company. He said, "This thing is a in forklift. Every time I turn the wheel, it steers from the rear." He's such a shit box. He said. So that was pretty funny. He's hard work, really hard work, but he's also very, very entertaining.
Is he? Because that's a serious CV he's got. Oh, that's pretty world class.
He's amazing. You know, he's obviously very passionate, as we all are, but he doesn't take shit. Like, he won't accept if the car's bad, you hear about it. Yeah, like, seriously hear about it. One of the best co-drivers I've had is, apart from Caruso, obviously everyone knows we're good mates, is actually Simon Pagenaud. He was so cool, such a good dude. We had a lot of fun driving together at the Gold Coast 600 for a couple of years, and like seriously impressive in the V8. He just knew his role. He's like, he took on the full co-driver role. You know, you set it up, I'll just drive that. Yeah, it's, you know, what Lee said with the setup, just do that and I'll just drive it. And Beardo was exactly the same. Beardo's a pretty funny dude. There's a lot of stories about Beardo.
Now you got Tom Randall.
He's a loose unit. He's probably, seriously, I reckon after this enduro season, I'm going to say that he's the weirdest cat I've ever had as
a
co-driver.
Some of the social media
not weird. He's not weird.
He's awesome. He's a great guy.
He's just out of control, kooky, that kid. Like, he is unbelievable. I don't know. He doesn't have a chance to come up for air. He's just
flat out, man.
Like, I just keep saying to him, mate, just calm down. You're going to burn all your energy before we get there.
Yeah.
Like, he's coming with me in the caravan and I'm going to have to wear earmuffs.
You drive, put him in the van and you drive.
Exactly.
How do you think the international guys are going to go, Bathurst?
Oh, look, you know, they're obviously not, they don't have the greatest car at the moment at Walkinshaw. I think they're going to struggle.
Well, they're claiming they're going to win. They come here to win.
Not in that way, I wouldn't have thought, would you?
Unless,
no offence to people working on it, but...
Yeah, unless they get the full Ludo treatment like those blokes in the Xbox car did.
Oh, how strong was that in the day?
Crazy. I remember you on the radio saying, I want that engine next round.
You know the funny thing was? That was my engine out of Sandown. So JJ's on the radio. I come out of turn one, we're following it, and he goes, oh, yeah, no, just pass the Xbox going up to turn two. Next minute I see it disappear. I'm like, and as I'm on the radio, like, whose engine? I want that engine. And then they come back and said, oh, that was your Sandown engine?
Yeah.
It's like, wasn't that good then?
Yeah, what did you do? What would nine mean? It's still a little while away yet, but we know you're there for three more years, and this week could be a really huge week for you.
Oh, yeah, like it's, like we, I joke about the bad luck that Jamie's had, but look, I think we put ourselves in a good shot. I think there's no doubt about that. And Ken, to your point, I think that, Jamie will set the car up and I'll look at the race car. And like, I don't have – the good thing, I suppose, about this combination is I don't have an ego or don't need to prove anything. I'll just go and do my own thing. So if I'm not at the top of the timesheet in a co-driver session, I'm not going to go out the back and cry and worry about where I'm going to drive next year. It's just a matter of making sure that we hit the little marks, we get everything right. Because we know that Bathurst is a long day, like the race day. From start to finish, you're completely right about your energy. Like, you don't want to expel all that in the first couple of days because you end up like a David Reynolds, which was great for us last year.
Really good.
Oh, it's awesome. I can't believe he's on another 12-week. He was on a 12-week weight loss
plan or whatever. Yeah,
I know. Bit of a silly.
He said he's got his body fat down 6%. But is that a good thing for Bathurst? Don't you?
He only started with 8.
Hey, reckons he was 22 and he's down to 16.
Do you know, I don't know about you, Lansy, but like I went through a massive fitness regime when I went to Stone Brothers. I was on the bike every morning, 4:30 a.m. You know, I'd be doing 60, 80 Ks every morning, and I lost a heap of weight. I didn't have any body fat, and I was struggling in the car. Like all of a sudden, I'm just absolutely struggling. And I've heard so many drivers say it. Shane says it. The drivers that, not saying that I've got too much fat at the moment, but if you lose too much fat, it's like the heat has nowhere to actually store. It just goes straight into your bloodstream and to your head. You know, they often talk about certain drivers being the fittest in the field, and they're the ones that get out looking the most buggered, to be honest, most of the time.
Oh, 100%. Like, you need stamina. Like, you need, like, some extra energy or fat or whatever you want to call it to absorb all that heat and also be able to... The good thing about Bathurst, and what I love about it, is getting out, regenerating yourself, shower, whatever, and then getting ready to get back in the car. Like, it's not a physical circuit in the sense, well, I don't find it, but mentally it is.
Yeah.
Because you just got to go through that mindset all day for 6.5 hours, and you've got to be switched on. So even when you're outside the car, you've got headsets on, listening to the driver, and then, of course, you go out the back to see a physio or whatever, and then next minute you hear this, oh, I've got a problem with the car, and boom, you're out, you're back in the garage. Yeah. It's like, what's going on? Mm. Especially like Gorilla Stevie Richards when he broke the gear lever. Because I was in the back, and next minute I hear this, oh, we're jammed in gear. I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm blazing back into the garage, and then, of course, Gorilla Arms ripped the rod out of the back of it. It was fine when I got out of it.
I want to know, in terms of the co-driver situation between you and GT, two guys that have obviously retired at the end of last year. Well, are you keeping tabs on his times?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I retired. He got booted out.
That's a whole nother can of worms.
Sorry, I can say that.
Save that for another podcast. It's legit, isn't it? There's a bit, the co-driver cup exists,
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and it's one of those things that over the co-driver sessions we've had this year, he ended up beating me, unfortunately, but we were going 1-1. But it's a good thing, though, for Shane, for the first time in his whole career, that he goes to Bathurst with a co-driver that's actually the same height.
Yeah.
So normally, I think he had Caruso. Well, they had Caruso signed up, and then they got rid of him when GT got sacked. Mm. So it's one of those things, I think, that they're really strong combination going forward. And I know Shane's really keen to get GT in the car and everything else, because it's sort of... we joked about it at the end of last year at Newcastle when I did finally, we did all that big hurrah and everything else. And I said to GT at the time, I said, well, now you'll become the oldest driver in the field. So, good luck with that. And then next minute over Christmas, you get this, Garth Turner being sacked from GRM.
Then JC gets the mantle of the oldest driver in the field.
And now he's leaving.
Yeah. Oh, who's it going to be next?
Not me.
we both
there's a few yet. Hey, there's a few yet. They may not, I might not have as much hair as them, but I'm still younger. The thing that I think Lounsey, GT, a few of those guys, Caruso, Moff, the name becomes intimidating to the other co-drivers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing that they'll have over them mentally, because let's say, you're coming up on, let's say Will Brown or Thomas Randall, let's hope not, but hopefully I've got that out of his head by then, but... You know, coming up on those guys, and you get the call over the radio, mate, Lounsey's coming up behind you. Lights on.
Good luck.
Lights on. Just watch out. He likes to punt people off.
Oh.
No, he doesn't.
But
he likes to give him a shake up.
He does it as he smiles and waves.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be a bulldog. Always, I won't let him go.
Always polite.
Hey, but that puts them off. That'll put them off.
Last question before we get the guys in, because we're almost out of time with you. I know last year... With the retirement, it was like you were over. We're never going to see you again. Seriously. Yeah. It was like that at most rounds, but Bathurst even more so, to the point that I understand they'd coordinated you walking from the garage to the transporter, like making sure every route was the shortest possible route and just protecting you from everything. You talked before about how draining the week can be. How are you going to handle it this year being back there, but having commitments with Fox Sports as well as a team?
Well, that's going to be interesting, the dual role. I think that's I think I've had 8 months this year to understand, and a lot of people have come up and said, like, from where I was at Adelaide to where I am now, I'm chalk and cheese. But I think I was naughty at Adelaide. I didn't know which camera to look at, and it's like all over the shop. But it's, I think I've
now that's why podcasts are so much better. You don't have to worry about that shit, mate. You just talk.
Can you say? I can't even say that on TV.
What shit?
Yeah.
Just say. You say it now. Come on.
Shit. Okay. Yeah. It is shit that I can't say shit. Yeah. But it is one of those things. I think because you now understand the TV world that it actually has helped me in the side of the car when you do commentating laps or other stuff. It's going to be busy time, but like I enjoyed it. If you asked Jamie or Shane last year, they kept calling it the funeral tour. Because they could see, and they both said, once they get to that point of their life, they're just going to get to the end of the year in December and go, I'm not coming back now. Bye, thanks. Because they just saw what happened over the course of every meeting. And it got monotonous, like every meeting. Oh, so this is the last time you're going to be at Townsville. Oh, this is going to be the last time you're at Pukekohe. This is going to be the last time. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. Mm. I know. Oh. But yeah, but I still enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the challenge of getting back in the car and just taking, as I said, a bit more of a casual role in the sense of letting Jamie stress about the qualifying car and I'll just worry about a race car.
Yep. Before we bring Jamie and Scott in there standing by, any last stories or anything you want to say for Jamie at the moment?
No, I think that, hopefully he goes to the toilet before he gets in the car.
Oh, I think I might know what you're alluding to there.
I think we know exactly what you're alluding to.
Yeah, I might put that to him in a minute. Yeah.
Well, the whole reason why, and again, you're talking about the mental strength of drivers, is Red Bull put us through a sweat test. And it's one of the things is to understand your body makeup and how much you extract sweat. I don't sweat a lot, so I get out of the car and I look good, but I'm buggered. So I'm on the low end of the scale. He's on the other end. He profusely sweats. So he's got it in his brain. He needs to drink like 8 litres of water a day, but of course he's got a size of a pea of a bladder, and it just goes straight through. So ask him about it.
I think we will. On that note, we might bring Scott and Jamie into the studio, and we'll say a farewell and a thank you to see. Oh, thanks for your time, mate.
We'll catch up with you
throughout the week. Enjoy the red wine, you two, and the bromance and the caravan.
Yeah, you're not far down the road, so we'll have to get the caravans together.
We will, yeah.
Yeah.
Line them up.
I hope mine doesn't knock onto yours. <at night>.
Enough. Good stuff. All right, CL, thank you, mate.
We'll catch
up with you again soon.
Definitely.
Cheers. Well, we've had our co-driver swap. We're into the second stint of the Loud Pedal podcast, our Bathurst special. Scott McLaughlin, Jamie Wincup, welcome.
G'day, guys.
I'm kind of excited that Jamie hasn't heard what Craig has said so far on the first half of the show.
I've got a day job, so I was out doing emails
working
while
on
you
the
guys
car
were
wash.
Clowning
yeah.
around. For
he was washing
hour.
Cars at the front of Fox Sports.
Have you finished writing that
letter to Cams, by the way?
No, I haven't. But I'm trying.
Hey, that was weeks ago. Let's leave that alone.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah, selective. That's memory. All.
He's already paid his fine.
Jamie,
hurts.
There is an old journo that swears.
Yep.
That you have raced at Bathurst with a catheter.
What?
Is he taking?
Hang on. What's a catheter?
Is this a piss bag?
Okay, sweet.
Is he taking the piss or is it true?
Excuse the pun.
Who are you talking
There's
about?
An old journo. He wanted to write a story years ago.
Oh, I reckon you're talking about Paul.
I'm
Paul
not going to confirm
Gover.
Or deny.
It sounds like a
Gover
story.
Let's not name anyone.
It is one of the great stories that gets told in the media area every now and again.
Unfortunately for Lounsey, no, I don't run a catheter.
Right.
But I have been known to piss in the seat on the inlet. Yeah.
Right.
Is it true, Jamie?
Accidentally.
Is it true?
No, deliberately. Like, if I'm on the...
On the inlet? You haven't got long to go,
No,
mate.
It's just a bit of a laugh.
Well,
get in. Ooh, sweating a bit.
Well, we don't want that to happen this year.
Oh, thanks, mate.
So here is your very own piss bag.
Oh, thank you. Look at that. Where'd you get this out? You just out of your top drawer?
Stubbsy used that last night.
Exactly.
Lounsey went and pulled that out of the bottom of your race seat.
Did he really? Yeah. You wear one of these.
We're looking after Lounsey. We don't want to get wet.
Is it true, though? You know, we've all got our mechanical checklist. Is it on the checklist? Like,
2 litres. That's a decent, decent
He said your bladder's like a pee.
Hey, stop trying to avoid the question.
Sorry, mate.
Is it on the checklist? Do you have to tick it off if you piss in the seat?
Yes, yeah.
You're kidding me, so, really?
Like, we're all talking about broken steering arms, tick.
Brakes come up good.
Brake knock off. Piss in the seat.
Tick.
Sorry, boys.
The mechanics love it, driving back from a podium or something, you know.
You're kidding me.
That's just
Tour de France. Right? Tour de France, all the greatest athletes on earth do it.
It's good chat.
Everyone just, if you've got to go, you've got to go.
Yeah.
No worries. Now, the other one we'll get out of the way early as well. It's not pick on Jamie Day, but OCD, he told us a story about KFC drive-thru at Pukekohe. Okay, this is how meticulous your preparation is in life in general. That you measured at midnight or 3 a.m. I think you might have said the angles of the KFC drive-through at Pukekohe because you were building your car wash at the time.
And correct.
Is that
was I spotted doing that?
You were spotted. You was.
Hang on.
Didn't you know that he knew that?
No, I didn't know he knew that. Well, yeah, he must have spotted.
He knows that. And he just told us and everyone else.
What happened? What's the story?
Oh, so you haven't heard?
I haven't heard the story.
So I'm building my cafe, yeah. And it's got a drive-through. Yeah. So I needed to know the angle. I needed to know the required angle.
The apex. Got to get the apex.
It's all about going and ask Dad.
Yeah, I did. I got information from everywhere.
Yeah, right.
So I'm all about customer satisfaction. That's what makes it. Customer satisfaction. So if someone's trying to get around and doing the rims on the curb. So, yeah, I've been all over the country, measured up the correct drive-through, you know, width and angle. And, yeah, happy days.
Well played. And that's what works. That's what's got you seven times.
I still reckon it's too tight at your joint, but anyway.
Do you? It's on the limit. It's on the limit.
I was going to say, I was going, Merc, which rims is he trying to avoid Scott from scratch? That's why you like it.
Yep.
Preparations, boys. This is Bathurst week. It's the biggest week of the year for us. How are your preparations been? What do you get up to? How do you treat it? How do you make sure you are pin sharp by Sunday?
It's a hard one because we get so pumped about it and we talk about it basically the whole year. For me, it's something that I've always put above a championship in some ways too. And as a driver that does, it's hard not to get carried away with the emotions, as you guys would know as well. It's going well. I'm excited. I think, everything's gone to plan so far this year and we're in a position where we can attack.
Jamie, have you done your boot camp? You do a training camp before every Bathurst?
Not yet, no. Okay. No, Lounsey doesn't like training.
No. He said he's got to lose a few kilos.
Does he?
He's running late.
Yeah.
Roland's all over him, apparently.
Like a fat kid on cake. So.
Lounsey said, no, I'm not training. I'm not doing any of that. No need.
So what have you done in the past? You've always gone away with the trainer.
Yeah, I've always took on my co-driver and we've gone somewhere and just, took a couple of days away, gone through the last year's race and just hung out a bit. But I think Lounsey does a caravan trip.
But going back to the fitness thing, it's not bad being heavy.
That's what we were saying earlier.
I'm the second heaviest bloke in the field, I'm pretty sure. I think I'm weighing 94 kilos or something, with all my gear.
Are you that much?
With all my gear on.
Yeah.
So, come on, it's not that bad.
Hey, you've got 6 kilos to play with.
I was going
to
say, talking to a whipper.
Davey Reynolds was light last year, but it didn't work for him.
This is what we were saying. Yeah. Every time you train hard and, lose all this body fat, you actually struggle in the car.
Better to have a bit of meat on you, I'm telling you. Because you can something to sweat out.
And if someone calls on war, you know, the only people that survived the war were those that had a little extra. They need a little extra.
Will you run cool suit?
What?
Will you run the cool suit?
Yeah.
Would you? Are you going to run the cool suit?
Yeah, I reckon I might run.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I'm not going to run it.
No.
But
for the weight.
Yeah.
Is that your choice?
You know what it's like. He doesn't let. I don't run it.
Ludo doesn't like you running it.
Yeah. Well, you can though. You got 15 holes in your windows. You know what I mean? We're sealed up. You can open the window down. You're sweet. You can be the hero and not run a cool suit. But put the window up. It's hot.
Hey, Scotty's fat arm. Scotty likes a fat arm.
You enjoy
window
it.
Down.
Just remember though, when I maybe slot it on the inside of you, bug. Cool suit.
I
should have not run it.
Sweating. Yeah.
I actually tried it on the Saturday there at Pookie, and I'm like, it's just a Saturday race,
Yeah.
And then realised that it's as long as a Sunday. And halfway through the race, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, why did I do this?
Stupid.
So I ran it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Does it mean as much to a Kiwi, Bathurst, as it does to us? You grew up like it was the iconic event, right? Just like it is our great race?
Yeah, well, for a Kiwi, we actually saw more supercar racing. Like Bathurst was our race. Like we didn't have the whole series on like they do now, live and all that sort of stuff. So I think for me, I think back in the day it was actually Shell Helix Motorsport. That's not a plug. And it was what we stood. I remember waking up. I used to sleep Saturday night in the lounge room, like a cubby house for me and my sister, and watch the warm up in the morning, 7 a.m. all the way through. And for a Kiwi, the race is huge. And I think Murph added the legacy for us, what he did in 2003, those laps.
Jim Richards, I guess.
Yeah, what
yeah,
Jim, generation
Jim, Jimmy, yeah, 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 yeah. But I mean, like, that's it was definitely a fair bit behind, before my time, like Jim and that. But you know the history those guys created for us Kiwis, and it is a big race.
What about you as a kid the night before? I think you said you rolled out a mattress. You used to get the mattress out, yeah. Lee, and you'd be tuned in ready for the start of the day.
What's going on?
I was 5 years
can't
old.
Can't qualify on full tanks, can you?
So that ticks the box of so Jamie night before his
yeah, there's another one on the checklist.
I'm Sunday morning boys, but
Sunday
pretty warm up.
Hello, yeah, hello, yeah, Carly. Yeah, hello. Yeah,
yeah. Get it back on track.
Hey, there's no harm in being heavy in the car.
What did you do though? Did you were you legitimate every year as a kid? Were you as like these guys, or were you later in life that you came to appreciate the mountain?
No, we were traditional. Roll out the family barbecue. Yeah, yeah, Barbie. It was always a good day. The weather was always the start of the warm weather coming in. So yeah, out the backyard, barbecue, snags, and then just sit there and watch the race. Mm. Yeah, on and off. It's
you've great. Had you've had the highs and lows. Has your relationship changed with the mountain now, the way you view it? I mean, obviously it was a place that you had such success and for years in a row.
Yeah.
And then things you've had luck go against, you've had different issues up there in the last few years. Do you view it as you arrive now in a different way?
No, it does. Honestly, I'm not just saying it makes you hungrier. You know, yeah. It's good to have the devastation, the ones that don't go right, because all it does is add value to the ones that do. Yeah. You know what I mean? If it was easy, there's no value. It's like, it's like a new video game or a sport or buying a stand-up jet ski for the first. The things that are the hardest at the start and really challenging to get right, when you do get it right, it's actually so much more value than something that's easy, then you don't get the value out of it.
You obviously, can I just ask a question? Yeah. Like, so you won it three times with Lounsey, right?
Yeah.
He drove it home each time.
Yeah.
So 2012, that was the last Bathurst win you had.
Yeah.
So did you drive it home?
Yeah.
Is it different? Is it better? What's better?
Like, No. Like, you think everyone thinks you got to you finish the race. Yep. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. But no, I had just as much value from 2008 as what I did to 2012. It's nice. It's a luxury.
Yeah.
But it's contributing to the day. Yeah. You know? And it's good for the co-drivers to not have too much pressure. Yep. But really, they're just as an important role as the main drivers are. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And like 2006, one of my proudest moments of Bathurst was 06.
Yep.
Actually, giving Lounsey the car in the lead.
Yep.
You know, we were able to hunt down, and pass Todd Kelly at the end there, and hand it over. So. Yeah, you can feel just as satisfied being Scott, the co-driver.
Scotty, you've obviously had your highs and lows of Bathurst as well. An incredible lap a couple of years ago, and then obviously you had some dramas in the race. You two had a bit of a coming together, and what would it mean to you now? You
we all laugh.
Hey, it's all Vine.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
We remember that.
What would it mean now? I mean, you've obviously you've been in a position to where you could win the race. You've had a quick car, and surely you'll go back there with another quick car this year. What would it mean to you now to go back there and put that thing on the top of the podium?
Yeah, I dream about that race. Like, I think anyone that hasn't won it, just the feeling of what this bloke's felt four times, what it would be like just to stand there. I think I was so fixated on just getting on the podium, and last year I got on the podium, and that was amazing. I was pretty happy with that, and before I got there, though, and when I got on the podium, it was like, I was looking at Lowndes, and no one cares. No one cares who's second and third. It's literally who won it, and I looked at Lowndes, and I'm just like, fire, that's so cool. I was actually probably almost more deflated coming second or coming third than I was when I'm fourth or fifth, because you just don't know that feeling until you're up there. And it would mean the world to win.
You'd relate to that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%. You know,
it's weird, isn't it? Because you just think about it for so long.
2009 it was for me when I stood up there, and it's exactly what Scotty said. You get up there, you're pumped, like straight away. I held off Murph over the line, so I nearly came fourth, but obviously I'd much rather come third than fourth. But to get up there and experience what it's like on the podium in front of the fans who were just going absolutely ballistic, and it's something you've been watching for your whole life, that you've been wanting to get up there.
Yep.
But once you're up there, you're like, man, this is so cool, but imagine being there. How good would that be, like right next to you, the top step?
Yeah.
And that is like, And it's the absolute, you know, well, that's the
it's quite easy for people to think. And it's quite easy for people to think that we're arrogant about what we're saying there, but it, like, it's just
the want for more.
The want, yeah. Like, it's, look,
we
just,
wouldn't
and
be
it's straight
racist
away.
If we didn't want to get to that top step,
no one
you know?
Cares. You get up there and it's just, it's
well, they cared when
them.
You got up there, you got booed.
Yeah, yeah, but I think I was in the Holden crowd. So
yeah, anyone that's not yeah,
in that
associated
market,
with the
which
winner.
Is why we love the sport and whatever. But I just
no. What are you going to do if you win?
Oh, mate,
have you got?
I don't
any,
know.
Any
I might not make Gold Coast. There's a fair chance I won't turn up.
Nah, but if you I get think... booed again, you could call them a pack of
yeah, probably. Yeah, defensive red flag. Nah. Look, I don't know what I'd do. It'd just be an amazing feeling.
Yep. 2016, do we want to go there? Do we want to talk about it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, no worries.
How did it all unfold between you two? From memory, Jamie, you went to speak to Scotty afterwards. How did that go?
Yeah, I was a bit of immature about that, wasn't I?
What did you do?
Did I come
no, I remember you came up to me and I sort of called you.
You can say it.
Yeah. I was like piss off or whatever. But
I come down. I spoke to Gary. I come in the garage. Yeah.
But it was just I was immature there. But it was a race that I thought I could win if I held Jamie off.
Yeah.
But I needed a safety car. There's no way I was going to win it without a safety car. Yeah. And really, there's no chance.
Fuel,
I was going to. Yeah, fuel. Like Fabian decided he wasn't going to make it, so he checked out.
Yeah.
Where I was actively just trying to save fuel the whole time, and I knew this guy was fast, and Garth behind us was fast.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to run out of fuel at Bath.
Never say die, though. Nah, but ignore that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I
heard something about
the team are like, do you reckon you can save the fuel? And I was like, 100% I can, but knowing that I probably couldn't, but you just say it because I didn't want to pit. You know?
Well, you go for it or you know you're throwing it away. So, you know, and you've been
and
in that position.
And that's what got me into so much trouble because my team were like, you didn't even have to pass him. What were you doing? But, hey, you ran a bit wide at the elbow. And I had a run. Yeah. You know what I mean? The so move was on. Yeah. So, the day you don't take a move that's on.
I knew he was going to bomb me there too. I knew he was going in. I should have protected, like, moved it even more narrower, so the opportunity wasn't there.
Yeah.
So there's a mistake on both our parts in some ways, but probably more so mine. But the aftermath of all that, like the cut in the corner again, that's the want to. It's just what you do. It's instinct. Yeah. It's just.
How was that for you with Will? For you to cross the line and to be appealed and blah blah blah, and then for you because you're such great mates, and then Will wins it. Was that weird? Because you're pretty much our best mates. So.
Definitely. I just wanted those guys to feel the win, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Celebrate the win. I didn't want this cloud get over the top of that result because how amazing it is. But at the same time, we felt we were pretty heavily robbed, you know?
Yeah.
Which that incident actually goes back 2009, Lowndes and I were teamed up together. And I had an incident with Jason Boguana at the end of the race.
There.
I was running
right
the fifth.
With you.
Had a bit of a tangle and anyway, that he wasn't not happy with me that day because he thought I'd taken him out.
He doesn't get angry, Jason, at all.
No, not at all. Anyway,
little man syndrome.
Yeah, roll on.
I don't know anything
16,
about it.
16. Yeah. And I reckon it was Bargs just squaring that one up, I reckon.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon there's conspiracy?
Sure, that was
he's
just
got a long memory.
Square up, which is okay. That's okay.
I copped a penalty too.
You did?
For coming on. Mm. But I felt, I didn't agree with mine as much as I did hit in the end. Garth, but I don't feel like I came on out of control. I felt like I was controlled, and
but
then
Garth,
Garth moved.
Gap.
Then it looked like even worse. But I felt like I was well in control that whole thing. I don't know.
What's the story with Frenchie and the what's his good story with when you had the engine issue?
Well, he was
you
like
couldn't
lost.
Find him. He was
so
gone, wasn't
our engine issue happened like lap 50 or something.
Yeah,
he was like so they picked him up at the cutting, and then they took him all the way around up over the hill, and then they parked him on the inside of McPhillamy. So there's no way you can get back across the track. Otherwise, you roll down the mountain if you want. And we didn't see him for the rest of the day. I think he came in at like 160. And we're like, where the hell have you been? Like all day. I actually put a PSA out there on Twitter just going,
anyone seen him?
Give him a beer or something. You know?
He was nervous he was going to get raped by a kangaroo. Yeah. Stayed in the corner.
Get pretty excited up there.
He come back down, he had his suit on, and he's like, I've just been watching it on iPad. And that guy's
Foxtel Go. Foxtel Go.
Yeah.
So, celebrations, Jamie. What have you done You've been there four times on the top step.
Yeah.
Any particular
celebration?
Yeah, that comes to
we
mind.
We all end up at the Bathurst RSL, don't we? Yeah.
Or the Ox.
The league.
Or the Ox, yeah, yep. Something like that. One year, what happened? First year, 2006, where we went to the RSL club and all the lights are on and it's all happening. And I think Davo and someone else got me on their shoulders, you know, and we're going, getting a bit silly. And then the bounce said, righto, you're out. And then everyone's like, well, if he's out, we're all out. And the bounce said, well, no, that's not going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he kicked me out and then the whole, it was all over. And then everyone come back to one of the houses we were renting and off we went again, you know.
That's awesome. So, what year was that?
That would have been 06.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
What Panthers club?
Was it the Panthers? It's the RSL or whatever it was. Yeah.
I don't think I was too young. That one, like I've never. My first party in my Bathurst after party was the Ox. I've never partied anywhere but there. Hope I get free beers. And give
What has happened at the Ox? Anything good?
Oh, plenty. There's been some good times. Mm-hmm. Great classic hits.
Yeah.
There's a bit of everything going on there.
Does Dick get pretty juiced up?
Oh, come on, Stubbsy. Yeah, you mean Dick Johnson?
Oh.
Jim Beam, lots of ice,
and
a bit of Coke, dash of Coke.
Yeah,
mate,
you said you
can set Dick on for a long way. Like he just keeps going, and his stories get worse and worse.
All right, next year, 12 months' time.
That was his ultimate sponsor, wasn't it? Jim Beam Racing.
Oh yeah,
that was perfect.
I reckon he's kept a few of those cups.
It'd have to be a few. Mate, he can sink some of those. It's unbelievable.
Does he still mix his water at the drink bottle? In his drink bottle with a bit of Jim Beam?
No, I don't think so. But do you remember that year at Gallaudet and he came out with a flask? He always has a hip flask.
Yeah.
He's like, you want some of this? A bit of extra.
What about RD? I could see him doing the nut bush out after a few frothies.
Oh, he can go hard. Yeah. I've been worried about him a couple of times. He's going to kill himself, you know, because he's no spring chicken.
Yeah.
Phillip Island, like that little Italian restaurant on the corner.
Yeah, the white one.
Isola?
The old bloke brings out his bottle of limoncello. I don't know what limoncello is, but he goes hard on that.
Whew. Yeah. Really?
It smells like rocket fuel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do love your story about 2014, it must have been, and returning, was it the hire car with PD?
Yeah.
And you ran out of fuel?
Yes.
That story was...
Really?
You guys weren't just... Making that
you
up.
Love running out of fuel.
Yeah,
we
rolled into the airport Avis car park. It was.
And was it on? Or was
I think
that,
we would have learnt.
Is that Chinese whispers or was it actually on empty?
No. We literally it coughed. It coughed as we were coming down into the thing. Yeah, dumped it.
That's classy. We did the exact same thing over in Adelaide a couple of weeks ago with the hire car. Luckily, it was a hybrid, so it ran on battery into the Hertz.
Co-drivers. Who's been your strangest or who's been the one that's kept you on your toes?
Frenchie.
You've had a few, you had Webby.
Webby was interesting because he'd have a snooze. I don't know whether he still does it, but yeah.
What, during the race? During the race.
Yeah. No, like honestly, he'd just have a sleep. Like
really?
He's pretty laid back.
Yeah.
You'd say, oh, Webby.
Yeah. And then I found out like he loves rap music as well. So it was kind of like I never saw
what
him
a
as a yeah. Oh mate, this guy's not 50 Cent. I don't know who is. He is ghetto. He is ghetto.
I don't mind a bit.
All right, what's on your playlist?
Oh, 50 Cent.
Fitty. You go on R&B Fridays. I'd like to.
I went there last year. That was fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
A few of you boys went, didn't you?
Yeah. I was with Will, Tomo, Rihanna and that. And obviously, a couple of my mates. But probably going back to the co-drivers, like Frenchie's been, I've had him at two teams. He's a different cat.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Do you ever worry that him and Ludo are bitching about you in French?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no. Well,
do they talk to each other in French in front of you?
Yeah, they do. I just walk away. Like, I eventually get a couple of words out about the car, but I'd rather them. I actually don't mind them talking in French as long as I get relayed what they said. I'm sure I don't get everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But Alex is good. Wally, I had Wally one year as well. Dave Wall, he was good. He's just bloody tall.
Bloody tall.
But once we sorted all that out, it was all right. But it was good.
What about you? You need to return serve on Lounsey. He stitched you up. So
I've only had good guys. All the people I've driven with have been mates. I've never actually had a random from
your
anywhere.
Best mate.
Yeah, they're all, always been mates that I've known beforehand, and we've teamed up together. Yeah.
No quirks. Anything that he gets up to or in his preparation.
But you've had some pretty good ones. You've had like Tander, Lounge. Who else?
Yeah.
PD.
PD. Stevie Owen. And
Richo.
Tomo.
Your Jace.
Yeah. Jace. So all my co-drivers have been mates, which has been great.
Who would you grab if you could grab anyone right now that you haven't driven with as a co-driver, just to experience, just to drive with them?
I'd like to drive a Murph.
Even though he's not current
at the moment. I mean, that guy used to just raise another level. I reckon that'd be unreal. Yeah. Just to have a drive.
Yeah. I reckon like a few years back, I would have loved to drive with Scavy. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. And Jimmy Richards comes to mind as well.
Would you have started
Jimmy back in the day?
Yeah, I think I would have started the race.
Okay, great. I'm just checking.
I mean, like, don't worry, Scape, you've got this. I've seen what happens.
He's going to kill me.
He won't be laughing at that.
We've dropped a few things about Scape.
He's already switched off by now. Yeah.
He's had a few sniffs at the wind there around that track, hasn't he? He can smell the wind before anyone else.
Well, he's done more than me, so yeah.
Lee, you are skating on. Seriously,
have you heard the way he talks about me?
I have. Yeah, he does stitch you up.
Yeah, he stitches me up bad. Time for a
I've just clicked. You're talking about the Bugle. I just clicked. Yeah, I'm a bit slow here.
Celebrations, Scott. You love a fence. You love to.
Well, New Zealand. When you did it for a lap of the fan.
What do we call your lap? Has anyone actually given an official title?
No, nothing. You guys try to say
lap of the
not
gods,
that.
Mark II, or whatever
that.
We want to call it.
It's not that. It's not even anything. It's just the 27th.
The record lap.
Yeah, that one. the 3.8.
You climbed the fence then, didn't you?
I don't mind a quality one, but that's just I like the show. We're a show, and I enjoy the.
Do you know who used to
get pumped up about it?
Doing it,
Scaife.
Used to hate it.
He calls him the bonnet jumper.
Yeah, used to hate it.
Yep.
So be careful. You might be in that
I'm really worried. Yeah, I'll do what I want.
Jamie, what about you? Celebrations, you tend to be reasonably muted. The backflip at Newey was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was
good. I fired it in the ditch once down at Tassie.
Yeah, that was good.
That was very good. Had Matty White and me egging me on and just ran out of lock and fired it.
That was good.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What would I do?
If you win Bathurst this year, what are you going to do?
I'll run down pit straight with my pants off.
and your jocks? Or you're a commando?
I'll wear my undies like a G-string and I'll run down pit lane.
All right.
Backwards.
Shirt off, everything.
Through the punters.
Through the punters.
Through the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's pretty scary. Isn't
it? I don't know what you'd catch.
You know, on the last lap of Bathurst, if you're sitting in the pits, it's mayhem. It's like the last lap of Bathurst, you're thinking everyone's packing their shit up, like going, it's going to just about get crazy.
They pull the boomers.
It's like they've opened up the jail, you know, and these criminals are coming straight at you.
The noise.
You wind down the garage doors and you just hear this stampede and then bang, bang.
I had one try to get my phone out of my pocket when I was live on air.
Really?
About 2 years ago. I was standing up kind of on the pit wall while whoever it was about to come out onto the podium. And this guy literally is trying to get my phone out of my pocket while I'm live on air. Luckily, I had a big Samoan cameraman and he's just literally scissor kicked him and got him away. They are criminal.
Oh, my God.
Have you guys had any...
Come on, they're not all criminal. Don't be like that. Mate, you're going to have a bull stuff.
I'm in the broadcast compound. I'm safe.
What are you doing?
My little corner.
This is only going to be played on the big screen.
They're
all criminals.
They're not that bad.
Except for the ones that aren't.
The ones with the shell gear on are all right.
What kind of things and interactions have you guys had with fans? You haven't ever had a fan rock up in your caravan or camper van or motorhome or anything, you guys? Or had to sign? I think Lounsey told the story about the glass eye that he had to sign. And
well,
he had to sign a G-string.
That's what he told us.
Is she young or old? He or she, whoever it was.
I don't know. They weren't wearing it, but yeah.
You guys would have had this guy. He pulls his leg off and you sign his leg, his fake leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Like, it's full on.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, that's...
Or was it off at the time?
No, it was off. Like, he just bop takes it off, and just puts it out.
Yeah.
Like, good on him. Like, got a good balance too. Like,
You're expensive, I reckon.
Have people tattooed your signatures? Do you know? Have you had any of that?
Yep, style? I have.
You've had that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy. He goes,
when you know you've made it.
Yeah, he goes, I think it was in the Volvo. It was in the Volvo days. Oh, right. Yeah, and he signed, he's like, sign here, mate. I'm going to, because it was Lowndes, Brocky, and then me. Or it was Lowndes, Scafie, and then me, I think. Or he's like, it's a lot put it here. He's like, oh, I'll get it tattooed, I promise. I'm like, yeah, promise me you'll get it out tattooed. I was like, nah, this guy's never going to do it. Mate, next day, the thing's got glad wrap around it. He's like, check this out, man. Like, and he'll probably be there this year. He sees me every year.
I'll tell you what, if you win Bathurst this year, I'll get your name, I'll get your signature autographed on me. I'll get your autograph.
Okay.
Why would you do that?
What? Are you serious?
Because I'd love to see him do it.
Yeah, but like that's just a big commitment.
I'll do it.
That's incentive. Whereabouts? That's incentive.
Do you do forehead or?
I'll find somewhere to hide it. we're
getting dark.
I've got a pretty long signature.
Yeah, I've got just the right length.
I didn't realise how tight you boys were.
Yeah. We've bonded on the loud pedal. Yeah, sure, don't worry about that. Yeah. Well, it's not far away, boys. It's not far away. This is the week of Bathurst. Just tell us what goes through your mind. It's Monday. We're at Bathurst. You got a big, big few weeks or big few days ahead of you. A lot of commitments. Is it hard to walk the balance of not getting too excited too soon?
Yeah, I try and enjoy it as much as I can. I think there's nothing like it. Like it's just you can't treat it like any other race. You can treat it like any other race, but you really can't. It's so different. So like I just enjoy the driver's parade and the front street, you know, the main street.
Yep.
But I get Monday night I'm itching. Like I just want to drive. It's one place, I don't know what you guys are like, but I drive out on Thursday morning. I'm actually nervous. Like for me, I'm nervous the first practice. Like it's a big week.
Yeah,
I get nervous, you know, even rolling into Bathurst and you see the Mount Panorama sign and you feel like goosebumps. I've nearly got them now just talking about it. And you know that this is the week that you've been waiting. You've been talking about it all year. Mm. You've been thinking about the moment that could be this weekend all your life. And you get nervous as soon as you feel, like as soon as you roll into town. And it's such a long week that you really do, you've got to enjoy it. Because if you don't, you're exhausted before it's even started. You know, at any other event, we get in and you smash out a couple of sponsor gigs. Yeah. And then you're on track the next day. And the weekend starts pretty much straight away when you get there. But Bathurst is just so different. There's so much in the lead up. You just got to enjoy it. And the years that you don't enjoy it are the years that you have shockers.
I mean, even as a journo, I get the goosebumps. And I'm not even a bit part player in the overall scheme of the weekend. But you come over that mountain and growing up loving it like you guys, it's just to be part of it. It's just it's a real honour, isn't it? Is there someone that you guys would like to see win, if not yourselves? Is there a driver out there that you think, gee whiz, I'd love to see him on the top step this weekend?
Who hasn't had it?
Not really. No, obviously, if you can't win, there are certain people you'd like to see win.
Whether if you're behind them on that lap, on that last lap, you're not going to bomb them. You're going to bomb them. But
I'm a bit biased. It's probably my teammate. Like SVG's been going hard up there for a long period of time.
Yeah, and he had the heartache too, didn't he?
Real unlucky with that starter motor in the techno days.
Yeah.
So I'll say him.
Yep.
Glenn Seaton.
It'd be nice to bring back Seato, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, he deserved one. Look, you feel for the guys that have had the opportunity but then, you know, obviously something went wrong. Scotty's obviously had a good car there, and it didn't go to plan. I've had a good car there. There's plenty of guys that have had the opportunity slip away.
Poor old Dean Canto.
Poor old Dean Canto. Yeah, he's coming back again this year.
Is he worth again? McCauley, McCauley,
On the other side of the fence, the stat that blows my mind, Stephen Richards. He's had 10 championship, 10 race wins, five Bathurst.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on those numbers. It's something.
I was going to say it was
five Bathurst wins and 10 in total.
Yeah. I didn't realize he only run 10 races.
50% of his wins has been at Bathurst. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's kind of hard, isn't it, when you look back at the records because of now that we split the main drivers, like it's really hard to kind of compare. Yeah. Who's won what and who's done what in some ways, do you think?
That's a good thing, though. I mean, back in the day, you used to team up your main drivers. The second car used to go round and round, stay out of just no pit priority. Just don't pit if there's a safety car. And then half the time, they'd save two or three sets of tyres.
Yeah.
And then the main driver would jump back in their car with two or three sets of tyres with Gold Coast or the next race. So, yeah, I'm glad. It's a good call they've done what they've done.
Do you like that?
Yeah, main drivers stay in their car.
Yeah.
Because then you've got...
But do you think it gives more opportunity to young people?
It definitely does.
If there is a second car there 100%. Available for two drivers.
But back in the day, there were only four or five cars max going on the lead lap actually could win the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now you've got 10, you've got 10 plus cars at the end of that, like that all could win the race because there's 10 number one cars, you know?
There's definitely pros and cons to it.
Pros and cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I
understand
I,
that for sure. Absolutely.
I don't think I would have got my start without. That being the case when it was around. You know, I got my first gig with GRM in 2005 where I teamed up with Philip Skyfleet and they put McConville and Jones in the other car. That was really what got me into the, you know, in the shoe in the door with Gary. And, I'm not sure I would be here.
Because you never got – you obviously it's before your time, isn't it?
Yeah,
you always
so,
had a co-driver. So.
When it basically got announced that the two drivers thing was happening, it was 2010, that's when I first started supercars basically. But I actually thought I was a shoo-in, like, with one of these blokes at SBR in 2012. And then, that didn't get called. So I actually went across the road straight away and asked Jonathan Webb for a drive, and thankfully he did. And it was the best thing I ever did. Like, that car was phenomenal. It was one of these guys' car, 888. It was a brand-new 888 chassis. But, I was one of the lucky ones. But I certainly think there's... You got like a Will Brown who's got a couple of starts with Erebus, but like people like those guys that could probably jump in and be in like a 888 car back in the day, or like a factory 888 car or FBR car back in the day as well. Like it was an opportunity for them. I kind of wish it was still around for young people, but I do understand what Jamie says as well for the show and championships and stuff.
I did want to ask you earlier, actually, was it ever true that it was in your contract that if you won Bathurst, you could go to the States? Was that just a furphy?
What?
Judging by the look on your face, that was either really good acting or it was an absolute furphy.
Is that with my current stuff? No.
That was what journos were saying. It was written in your contract if you won Bathurst, you could go.
Well, I'm not meant to talk about my contract anyway, but it's like that's just,
Because surely you could never put you one can't. Race. You couldn't do...
Well, it's not surely. Even... Yeah.
But, at that point, when you've won Bathurst, is a very short turnaround to then go, I'm going
suddenly we're off. There's got to be
house,
we're off. And too bad for the poor old drivers in the States that suddenly Scott just
sorry,
won, so catch you later.
There's a clause in their contract that if Scotty wins,
I'll sign that. No worries. Sounds good.
Magically, there's going to be a seat appearance. It doesn't work like that. Yeah.
They're the things we hear. They are the things we hear.
Or you make up. Not here. Yeah. Yeah.
And not me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just there's a couple of drivers that I don't agree with your
very
scoops,
honorable,
mate.
Very honourable.
I heard.
We might talk about
that. Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Hey, one of the funniest things about Bathurst, and it's got to be the Gary stories are good. Hey, Bathurst time is good. You guys have both been there.
Dressed up as ladies,
back in,
the whole deal.
No, we won't go there. But I think it was back in about 08 or 09, Caruso, my teammate, Bezzy, Ritter as co-drivers. And we roll into the week of Bathurst and Caruso and I had done a seat insert and everything. We just assumed we were together, right? And Gary goes out to the press, I haven't decided who I've gotten in these cars yet. You know, I'll decide when I need to decide. And then on the Thursday...
That seems good, isn't it?
On the Thursday night... it was Tuesday night when we get to Bathurst. He's pulled everyone in. Right, everyone come in into the garage, boys. I want to tell you something. Anyway, he gets us all together. He's like, so I've decided on who I'm putting in each car, right? And we're like, Jesus, Gary, this goes the other way, we're in big trouble. He's like, I'm putting Caruso and Holdsworth together, all right? You guys are right with that?
All right.
You're not. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
We're like, Good. Yeah. I'm glad we did that seat insert. We've been testing in the same car for like that. 3 months.
Yeah. You still do it.
He still does it. I reckon Jerem haven't and formally announced their drivers, but all the media just puts it all together and just goes, well, they're together.
He's
pretty obvious now.
He's a classic. He loves last minute announcements.
They love a dinner. The meeting before that. To Gary, Bathurst is like everything. For me, he was a different guy at Bathurst. He's just very serious and
intense.
You just gave him a bit more space. Mm. But I love.
And that's
guy,
why you were shattered too, weren't you?
The 2016. Yeah. Like I was just wanted something. I think we were still, on for at least the podium, even if these guys did. But I was trying to win the race.
Yeah.
That was hard. I was I couldn't really face them. That was unbelievable. So
did you have a Gary? Were you going to jump in there with a Gary?
Do they still stay at that dorm?
The haunted house.
They still stay there.
Yeah. So as you drive in, it's like the church. On the left.
So really close to the track. It's only a kilometer away. There's this place that's got all the rooms and everything, and there's a communal bathroom. So everyone's in there. Gazza rolls in darkest. Darkest. Just roll. Hey guys, how you going? Top of the morning to you, boys.
Whoa. He loves it.
That's the start of the day.
So, used to roll in there because it was actually a college dorm because the college is right next door, and you used to every time you get there every year and there'd always be like notes on the bed from the students because they want after party tickets. Just be like, hey, good luck this weekend, but we'd love to come party with you on Sunday night and stuff like that.
Not all they wanted.
I'll never forget Perth. Gaz has got back to his room. He's lying stark as on the bed and the main hallway for the hotel is right beside. And everyone's just looking in. Starker's on the bed. He ends up getting a phone call from the reception. Oh, mate, can you put some clothes on? Everyone visiting the hotel can see he's naked on the bed.
He'd be like, that's all right.
I think he does the better impression.
He's so proud of it, too, isn't he? it's what God gave me.
It's what God gave me. God's gift. I love it. On that rather kooky note, gentlemen, thanks heaps. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was fun.
Good luck this week.
I wish the show all the success.
Thank you.
It's probably going to be up for a week.
I think it might be an R rating. I think we've just increased it today. But we've enjoyed the chat. It's good fun.
Thanks
for the opportunity, boys. Cheers. Thank you.